So hey, today is part three of God's economic system. And I have some helpers to help me introduce the service. Come on up here, girls. So I don't know if you've ever heard the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but I'm going to do Rich Daughter, Poor Daughter. Okay, and this is just, so the title of our series here is called God's Economic System. This is part three. And because they want to get back to youth group, they don't. I'm going to do this a little bit earlier than I had planned. So we have rich daughter and poor daughter here, okay? Can you tell which one is rich and which one is poor? Okay, I said, Sarah, I was setting this up last week and said, Sarah, get you a friend. I want one of you to be rich. I want one of you to be poor. She said, I'm going to be rich. Okay, so we're going to pretend that both of these are my daughters, okay? Now, this is my daughter, and this girl is close enough and, you know, pretty close. All right. So Sarah, I noticed that you're rich.
Yeah.
Okay, how rich are you?
I'm the richest person in the world.
In the world, yeah. Okay. You got some bling on, and you got some, like, mega-dollar shoes and
yeah.
Hip jeans and all sorts of jewelry, and your hair, you're just bling, right?
Of course.
Now, what do you do for a living?
I'm a daughter. Daddy's money.
Daddy's money. Okay, so do you have a job?
Absolutely not.
No. But you look rich today.
Yeah.
You got some rings on. Okay, you got a little attitude going on. Okay. But you're not you don't work at McDonald's?
Nope.
Okay. You don't work at a restaurant waiting tables?
No.
No, you don't shovel manure on the weekends?
No.
No. You don't clean houses for money?
No.
No. So how are you rich again?
Daddy's money.
Okay. Now, Reagan, we're going to pretend you're my daughter. Okay. Now, Reagan, are you rich or poor?
I'm poor.
You're poor. Okay. You know, I see you got some rags in your shirt. You know, you haven't really done your hair that well. You got some dirt on your face.
I tried to dress up for church tonight.
You dressed up. Thank you for dressing up. And you actually, you don't smell terrible. So that's good. Now, Reagan, what do you do for a living?
Well, I help my dad on the side of the street get money, and sometimes I work on the farm, and
okay.
I farm.
You farm, okay.
But I don't get any money from it. We only get a quarter a week.
Okay. And, thank you, and I asked these girls to help me because I knew they've got enough personality to play this up. So here's my question today. Here's my question. As we're getting in, this is going to introduce my message today. Thank you, girls. Stay here. Now, you got rich girl right here. And she just flat out said, I'm a reflection of my daddy's money. Right? I'm not working. I don't have my own business. I'm a reflection of my daddy. Okay? And she's got confidence. She's got swag. And over here. She's dressed, you know, poorly, and what? Same thing. This is the reflection of her daddy or her family, right? Because these are 14-year-olds, right? Are you 14?
Yes.
Both of them 14. So their richness or their poorness is not a reflection of them. It's a reflection of who? Their daddy, their family, right? And so I got, and rich girl has a whole different attitude on life than poor girl. Doesn't she? She sees this is just a drama, but in real life, the way a child raised in wealth sees life versus the way a child raised in poverty sees life, it's two totally different sets of eyeballs. Right? But my question is, what did she do to be wealthy? Nothing. What did she do to be poor? It's a reflection of who? Dad or family, daddy, yeah. All right, thank you, girls. You can go to youth group now. Thank you very much. All right. And so, as we're in this message series and we're talking about the provision of God, I want us to understand that our provision in this life is a reflection of our daddy. Wow. You get it? And we ended last week, and I brought that in a little earlier than I wanted to in my message. I'll pick it back up in a second, just because I wanted to get them to youth group. So we'll pick it right back up right there. So here we go. God's Economic System, Part 3. The underlying theme of this whole series, God is not moved by the economy. You know, I think somewhere we get this in my mind. My God shall supply all my needs unless gas goes over $4 a gallon. My God shall supply all my needs unless eggs go over $5 a dozen. Okay? God's supply is not based on this world system. And with all the talk and all the negativity out there, you know, oh, it's getting bad, and oh, the government this, and the government that, and taxes this, and we can look at all those things, and we can get frustrated, and we can get in doubt and unbelief. There's all sorts of things that can happen when we begin to focus on all the negative. But God is not moved by the negative. Amen. I remember early on in my sales career, and I'm still in my mid-20s at this point, or late 20s, and I'm selling cars, and I'm learning how to sell cars. The old sales joke is they gave us a price book and a mirror. The price book was so we could tell people how much the cars cost, and the mirror was so we could watch ourselves starve to death. But I was learning how to sell, and we were going to be open on Memorial Day. And I'm thinking, who in their right mind is going to go buy a car on Memorial Day? And I'm thinking, ain't no one going to be here. It's a beautiful sunny day. I would rather be with my family. I'd rather be fishing. I'd rather be golfing. I'd rather be cooking out. And I got to go to work. And I'm just focused. I'm almost Mr. Negative. And I remember going in there, and I had this crummy attitude. And we had four or five of us salesmen there that day. And we're just kind of talking, and negativity is flowing in the conversation. And then, lo and behold, a customer walks on the lot. And I had a buddy, he said, hey, I'm going to go sell this person a car. And it was the only customer we had that day. Only had one customer. And my buddy went up to him, and guess what? He sold him a car. He wasn't getting, and I learned right there, don't ever, 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 ever allow negativity to infect your mind. Because it will pull you out of a blessing, or it will pull you out of something good. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much negative. I mean, you can talk. I mean, if you watch the news, it'll put you into depression so fast. If you want to talk about all the injustices of our government, listen, our government of man, the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel, God tells the Israelites, if you have a king, this is what's going to happen. He's going to tax you and tax your taxes and tax upon tax upon tax, and he will never be satisfied. He's going to take your best men. He's going to take your best horses. He's going to take your best crops. He's going to take your money, and then he wants more. That's what's going to happen if you want a king. And all the Israelites said, give us a king. And here we are thousands of years later, and it is true, man. Government is, I mean, the reason why many times government is compared to pigs is because pigs never get enough food. They'll eat whatever you put in front of them. You see? And if you put your mind on all the injustices of the government, well, I have to pay my taxes so other people don't have to work. Well, yeah. But guess what? God's provision is not based on the American tax code. If God's provision was based on the IRS, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? So I want to talk to you today about really getting our faith set that God is who he said he is. And the great thing God said, how he introduced himself, he said, I am that I am. You know, a lot of people say, well, all the stuff in the Bible, that's not for today. Well, then he would be the I was. I want you to let that get in you. He did not say, I was that I am, or I am that I was. You know how some of us guys, we talk about how great we used to be? Oh, yeah, back when I was playing basketball. I'll tell you what, my dad, before he died, bless his heart, every time I talked to him, he had new scoring records in the state of Ohio. Every time I talked to my dad, he was world champion this, world champion that. Now, he was not all the way right in the head, honestly. But every year, his legends grew in his own mind. And of course, he couldn't do any of that today or at that time. But God is not the great I was. God is not like, well, back in my day, I used to be a provider, but then I got old. He's not the I was. He's the I am. It is an always present tense. Amen. So when he said, I am Jehovah Jireh, I am the Lord God who provides. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That does not change. Amen. Now, if you're newer here, you're getting squirrely, getting squirmy. Oh, no. Pastor's preaching on finances. I knew it was a cult, Martha. Let's get out of here. As soon as he gets over to that side, we're going to sneak out the back on this side. This is a once every few years message. But I believe it's so important because the Bible is so crystal clear on this stuff. And right now, when I'm seeing a lot of people facing some more difficult economic times, and it's people on fixed incomes. You know, Social Security did not adjust to cover the cost of eggs and gas and milk and all those things. I get that. I understand. That's why we need to preach this stuff. Okay? All right? And so let's get our faith in who God is in our lives. And man, if you're here today, you're just like, oh, my goodness gracious, I can't handle the pastor using the money word. I mean, that's like cussing in church. Well, I would just encourage you, man. And I mean this lovingly, open your heart. Open your heart and hear the scriptures, hear the word of God. And we're not trying to get anything out of you. We're trying to get something into you. Okay? So three biggest obstacles we face, this is review, when it comes to finances. Number one, lack of knowledge. Number two, lack of vision. And number three, lack of pursuit. Now, I want to speak to lack of pursuit for just a moment, and I mean this humbly. I want to be careful with lack of pursuit. You see, we have to have the ability to use our brains. God did not expect you, when you got saved, to trade your brain in. Does that make sense? I'm going to be teaching here in a few minutes on having a vision, not just for this month's bills. You see, whether we want to admit it or not, every one of us in here is going to get old. Right? And the folks that are old, and I don't mean old, I mean just you've had a few more years life experience than the rest of us, you tell us that it gets here faster than we could imagine. Amen. And one thing that Andrew and I realized one time was we saw some of our friends in ministry, older friends, that would get to up in their 70s. And after faithfully serving God all their lives, they did not have the money to be able to slow down. They did not have the money to be able to sustain. And they had made some they didn't have a proper understanding of money. And they get to be 70 or 75, and they're still trying to figure out how to make ends meet. And we saw this happen as such a pattern, and we begin to look and project and look at our own lives and say, dear God, if we don't do something different, we're going to be the same way. And I realized that I can either just take the status quo or I can do something. I can learn. I can apply some hands. I can apply some labor and some intelligence and try to get us in a position, because quite frankly, when I'm 75 years old, I don't like going to Walmart now. I do not want to be standing there saying, welcome to Walmart. Now, I would think I would try to be one of the best greeters possible, and you know, when the folks, I might just make fun of people when they come in. I'd probably get fired in a day or two, but nonetheless, I don't want to have to do that. Now, if I want to do it, that's something. But I don't want to be saying when I'm 75 years old, hi, welcome to Walmart, can I get you a shopping cart? Amen. And I don't want you having to do that either. So we're talking about getting a vision, we're talking about getting an education, and we're talking about putting our hands to work for the and not just for ourselves, but for the kingdom. So we've already talked about, is money good or evil? We discovered that money in and of itself is neither good nor evil. It's how we use it. The love of money is the root of all evil. That gets us in trouble. Last week, what is God's will for our finances? Oh, my goodness. This is a good one. Let me just review these scriptures quickly. 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray above all things that thou would prosper and be in health as thy soul prospers. That sounds like the will of God to me. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that you may walk properly toward those that are outside, that you may lack nothing. Deuteronomy 8:18, God says, I will give you the power to get wealth that you may establish my covenant. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:20, now him to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Luke 4:18, Jesus speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive. That those sound to me like blessing is good. That sounds to me, and when we read the book of Proverbs, when we read the Bible from cover to cover, we see that God uses wealth as a reward. If money was bad, why do we work for it? If money was bad, why did God give it as a reward? I mean, Solomon, the wisest man on the planet, he had this awesome revelation in prayer. God says, Solomon, I'm going to give you anything you want. And you know, most of us are going to be like, hey, give me money. Give me long life. And Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom. And God said, man, I'm so pleased with you, Solomon. Not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you wealth as a reward for that wisdom that you've asked for. If money was evil, why was it given as a reward? Amen. So, as Old and New Testament, we even talked about in Jesus is talking, and he's making a comment. He says it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Well, most people think of one of our needles, a little sewing needle and thread, and trying to get that thing through. And there's no way a camel's going to get into that eye of that needle. But that's not what, that was a Jewish cultural expression. The eye of the needle was a door and the side of a wall in a city in those times. And a camel, to go through the eye of the needle, he had to take all the stuff off of his back, and he had to get real low and go in. And then they'd put the stuff on his back on the other side. You see. Abraham's going to be in heaven. Abraham was rich. David's going to be in heaven. David was rich. Solomon's going to be in heaven. Solomon was rich. Right? Now, I'm not here to tell you it's God's will. Everybody here is a millionaire. That's not what I'm here to say. Now, when we get to heaven, I think we're all going to be king and bling. Amen. I mean, I've always heard of streets of gold, not streets of gravel. Amen. But we've been blessed to be a blessing. We talked about the Good Samaritan. We talked about the Good Samaritan. And here this Good Samaritan walking down the street and sees a guy beat half dead. He's passed out. He's half dead. He's all beat up. He's been robbed. He's been left naked. And the Good Samaritan, there was a little bit of discrepancy last week on how much the Good Samaritan actually spent, but it was at least $500-$600. And there's some that may say, hey, if he had to go to urgent care, it may have been well over $1,000. So just like that, just on seeing a need, somebody he didn't know, somebody who was hurt, someone in need, this Good Samaritan just whips out the Visa and puts on $1,000 without even thinking about it. We got to be in a position financially to be able to do that. Jesus said, go and do likewise. You're not going to be able to help people unless you have money. I know that religion wants to paint the idea of this poor church and everybody's poor and just loving you. Let me tell you something. We cannot help orphans if we're poor. We cannot help people in this congregation in need if we're poor. We cannot. We've given away cars. We've paid electric bills. We've paid house payments. We've helped people. Amen. You can't do that if you're poor. If there's no money at the end of the month, you cannot give what you do not have. That's good news, right? And lastly, we closed last week with the fact that we are God's kids. Galatians 4 tells us we're the sons and daughters of God, heirs in Christ. 1 Timothy 5 and 8 tells us that anybody who does not provide for his own household is worse than an infidel. If God is our provider, if God is our father, if we believe that God is our father, that brings us to the illustration we have with the two girls. If God is our father, if God is our father, if God is our father, if God is our provider, then that means our prosperity is a reflection of his provision. Or our lack of prosperity is a reflection of his provision. Amen. Now, once again, take what I'm saying in balance. Take it in balance. Are there folks who've erred on the side of prosperity? Yes. There are. But as a pastor in Cloverdale in Putnam County, let me help you. There are far more people that are on the other side of the pendulum. There are far more good Christian people who love God, who have God-given vision and God-given dreams, and they can't do it because of money. And I'm here to tell you today that just because the price of eggs goes up, just because the price of gas goes up, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to go without because God is your provider. He's your father. And so many times religion teaches that your father is like this random. You don't ever know what he's going to do. Some days he likes you. Some days he doesn't. Listen. Jesus loves you, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Matthew 7, what father among you, if his son asked for a piece of bread, would give him a stone, or if his son asked him for a fish, would give him a serpent? And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give good gifts to those who call on his name? That's what I want you to see. Now, does that mean that the moment we get saved, the winning lotto number is showing up in the mailbox? Ed McMahon is coming. For those of you who remember those days. That's not what that means. That means that when we get saved, we become a new creation. The Word of God comes alive on the inside of us. And as we discover the Word and put principles of the Word of God into place, it will help us to attain the will of God. You know, it's the will of God that our mouth would be holy, right? How many of y'all believe that? Okay, this is a rhetorical question. Don't answer it. But how many of y'all cussed since you got saved? Lorraine, your face is giving you away. No, that's where everybody's poker face. Listen, it's the will of God that your mouth is holy, right? Well, I've been around long enough. Now, I used to be naive. I used to think that Christians were perfect. Almost 30 years of pastoring have proved that false. Now, it's the will of God that you're holy as God is holy. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Well, that's good. But some of y'all did it. Some of y'all did it this morning. You got up, you had to go shovel snow, and you didn't say praise the Lord. You just haven't arrived yet, have you? But hopefully we cut those cuss words down, and hopefully within 6 months to a year, we wash your mouth out with Holy Ghost soap. Amen. Amen. So the will of God for your life, I do believe, is that you would be able to be like the Good Samaritan, that you would have money left over at the end of the month that you can be a blessing. And I'm going to teach you the levels of vision for your finances, that God expects you to have enough to retire on. I'm going to teach that here in just a moment if I ever get off the introduction. Thank you, Stephanie, for pointing that out. Appreciate that. But man, so just because when we get born again, you might start this thing in poverty. You may start this thing in lack. You may start this thing with ignorance. But as you progress in Christ, hopefully you learn Christ. And you learn principles of the Word of God that begin to produce victory in your life. Remember, we say that every Sunday, right? Give us a year, it'll change your life. Learn principles of the Word of God, bring victory in your life. And I don't have to, look, you take whatever God speaks to you. I'm not here telling you, you got to be so prosperous you have gold-plated doorknobs. But I do want to be prosperous enough to be the Good Samaritan. Does that make sense? You know all these folks up here? They were all able to take a week off work. You know that? Pretty cool. Now the two here on the end, you know, they live at home. They thought anything to get me out of the house. But the rest of them, man, those guys made a sacrifice too. I've worked with those guys. Those are fine young men. I think one of them has a girlfriend, one of them doesn't, ladies. So just FYI. What's that? Anyways, which one? Ask me later. But we want to, it takes time to allow these principles of the Word of God to bring about the victory that Christ intended for them. And see, we have no vision because we've never heard. Faith comes by hearing. And so many times religion presents this gospel idea that everybody's supposed to be poor and nobody's supposed to ask for anything and we're just all supposed to get by. And there's not many Samaritans that get help when everybody just gets by. How many orphans can we feed with nothing left over at the end of the month? Amen. We can't. Okay. Let me say this, because I felt like I was supposed to say it today. God, this is where people miss it. God is not motivated by need as much as he is by faith. If God was motivated by need only, there wouldn't be any need for orphanages and programs to help the poor. Because God would just fix it all. God is motivated by faith. Faith, when we study scriptures, faith is what moves God. Okay? And there's a whole lot of spiritual thinking that's spiritual, but it's not faith. And, we just assume God. Now, is God going to meet your needs? Yes. But my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, when we learn to apply faith, it goes so much beyond just meeting your needs. It goes on to being able to establish his covenant, to reflect the provision of your Father, to reflect the love of your Father, to reflect that I can be a good Samaritan. Now, new stuff. God has a system. This world has a system. 2 John 2:17. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 Corinthians 7:31. For the form of this world is passing away. Let me help you understand something. This world is not going to last forever. When I hear folks screaming about climate change, and they act like this, oh my goodness, you know, the world's going to come to an end. We've been trying to, we knew that thousands of years ago. Just not for the reasons you think. Okay. Well, there's going to be all these catastrophes. You're absolutely right. But not because of why you think. This world is under a curse. When Adam and Eve fell, the earth began to age. The earth began to have issues. And we had earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes. Nature got messed up. I think our insurance company's gonna be mad at us. We had a hailstorm, had to replace the roof, had a flood, have to, from a 50 below zero weird Arctic freeze. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, the earth is crying out, I'm getting old. The curse is heavy. But not only is earth as we know passing away, the system of this world is passing away. Now let me talk to you about the world system for just a minute. This world system is a corrupt system. All right? We live in this world. You go to work in this world. Right? You go buy groceries in this world. It's crazy to me. I mean, just think about the absurdity that one day gas is $1.78 a gallon, and a year later it's $2.98 a gallon, and a year later somewhere it's up over $4. And I've never understood how gas can change go to three different prices in one day, and it's the same gas in the tank that was there at the beginning of the day. What is that? That's just the world system. The world system has many injustices. I know many people, even in our own nation, who cannot physically work, and yet they go to apply for disability and they get denied. I know many people in this nation who can physically work, and yet somehow they get a pass on all this stuff, and they're using all the different benefits, and they're making more money than some of the people who work in every day. The system is broken. We know it's broken. The system of this earth is passing away. Don't expect more from this earth. I don't know. Thank God our country has put in some decent labor laws, but there was a time if you work your whole life for a company and you work faithfully and you get to be getting close to the age of retirement and you're fully vested in that company, so many times companies would fire you within a year or 2 years of your retirement so they didn't have to pay out what you had stored up your whole life. Someone said they're still doing it. If they are, it's illegal now. It used to be illegal. Or used to be legal. It's not legal now. I'm not here to cry out injustice, and I don't want to get in the whole, you know, minimum wage debate or anything like that, but I'll say this. There are things in life just not fair. You know, there are some people, and just like we had the two girls, there are some people born into money. There are some people born into poverty. That's not fair. You know, I'm still looking for someone to adopt me. I need some. Nobody wants a 49-year-old, 6'7". Anyway. When I go to Africa, I'm so grieved about the injustice. We think there's injustice here. Nothing like what they've experienced. Africa has 30%, almost one-third of the world's resources. Oil, diamonds, gold, all the wealth is in Africa, one-third. They have only 12% of the world's money. How do you go from having 30% of the world's resources to having only 12% of the world's money? They got plundered. They got plundered. Economic policies that were not fair, that were not right. Colonization. Now, I know I'm not here trying to speak against, you know, current political topics, but the fact of the matter is, it hurt those nations. Slavery hurt those nations. And even today, I mean, some of these countries that try to appear so righteous are so evil. And there's countries that said, okay, we colonized you, we took all your people, we took all your smartest people, we took all your resources, we're going to give you your independence back now. So you can have your independence. Now you haven't had to be sovereign as a nation for 150 years, but we're going to expect you just to take over and do fine, and there won't be any unrest. And oh, by the way, when we give you back your independence, we're going to keep all the mineral mines. And all your trade has to go through us. And we're going to tax it coming in and tax it going out, but you're a free country. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the nation of France. And when I see France trying to act self-righteous at some of the world's summits, and look down their nose, and you Americans are so abusive. Man, I've been there, and I've seen the poverty. And I can't understand how so many resources produces so little money. But that's how. That's injustice. That is a broken system. This system has inflation. This system has interest rates that go up and down. This system has unjust weights and measures. Ladies and gentlemen, if for the average person, you go buy a car and I go buy a car, if we go try to buy the same exact car, there's a good chance I'm going to pay a lot less than you. Why? I know the car business at the back of my hand. I know. Don't ever make a deal in person. Don't ever make the deal. If you're in person, they're in control. Make the deal over the phone. Never in person. Never, never, never. You're not in control. It's all about control. Don't ever give them your keys. Hold your trade hostage. Don't do it. Don't ever say, I'm here to buy today. Don't ever do it. Don't do it. But the day I walked out of the traditional dealership, I sold Toyotas brand new, and I was really starting to get halfway decent at it, and then they started filling me in on what was going on behind the scenes. And the day I realized that elderly people and poor people pay more for their cars than everybody else was the very day I walked out. I'm not going to be a part of unjust measures. The Bible calls that an abomination. Amen. I don't mean just an interest rate. I mean an actual price of the car. And I saw some things where they call it rolling the trade, different things, basically unfair, unethical business practices. And they still do it. They still do it. That's this world system. That's how it operates. The dog-eat-dog world. Survival of the fittest. But that's not God's system. Let me flip the switch here, and I want to talk to you about God's system for just a moment, and then that's all we're going to have time for today. Just as the world has a system, God has a system. And it's found in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. God's system of business is sowing and reaping. And he said this system is going to be in place as long as the earth remains. And he says there's going to be seasons as long as the earth remains. And so I understand what they taught in school. I understand what they taught in college. I understand that everybody's afraid of global warming. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, you have a choice to make sometimes. You have to choose. Am I going to believe what this professor is saying, or am I going to believe what the Bible is saying? Global warming is not going to be what kills the earth. It is very simply the curse of the law coupled with the end of times that will kill the earth eventually. Okay? That's it. Now, I saw this evidence. Well, I'm not saying there hasn't been changes of temperature. We know there's been changes of temperature. I mean, there was an ice age at one time. Okay? Temperatures change. You go back to 1970s, they said, oh, my goodness, we're going to go into another ice age. Now they're saying we're going into a global warming. And okay, I'm not here to argue with those scientists, but I'll just tell you, this is what the Bible says, and you can believe it or not. While the earth remains, there's going to be seasons. But this is God's system. Sowing, seed time, and harvest. That's how God does things. Okay? And in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, it's the New Testament equivalent. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's it. God's system. God's system is just. God's system is fair. God's system is not based on OPEC. God's system is not based on the Fed. God's system is not based on the climate. God's system is not based on what the economists say. God's system is not based on Dave Ramsey, Robert Kiyosaki. God's system is not based on who's in the White House. God's system is not based on who's in the Congress House. God's system is based on God. God's system is backed up by God. Amen. And if you have a system backed up by God, it will never fail. God's system is never going to fail. And this is where I want to build your faith. And I know, listen, I know I'm doing two things here. I'm doing two things in this series. Number one, I'm being repetitious. I'm saying things over and over again. It's like I keep saying things. Some of you will get that tomorrow. Okay. I want to get this in you. I want this in you. All right, when we were working on basketball plays, listen, we didn't do it just one time. We just did the same play over and over and over and over and over until you're doing them in your sleep. They drill it into you because they want you, no matter how big the defense is, no matter how close the game is or how bad the referees are, They want you to be able to run these plays no matter what the defense is doing. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to get this faith in you that no matter what the devil's doing, this faith is alive in you. These scriptures are alive in you. This is not just some raging lunatic screaming from a pulpit. This is someone trying to put in you the living word of God, that it's alive and powerful and accomplishing what God sent it to do. That's why I'm teaching like this and slowing it down. So I want to get it on the inside of you, and I want you to have faith in uncertain times. And then really, I want to see you get a vision to be the Good Samaritan. God's system is not subject to the world's system. Now, next week, I'm going to talk about, introduce the four concepts of sowing, and I'm going to talk to you about four levels of vision. The problem with most Christians are, our vision is this month's bills. And we're going to see from Scripture, God wants you to have a vision for your whole life and beyond, even when it comes to money. Okay, so I'm going to hit that next week. Let me close with, I want to give you something uplifting to close on here. Get you out of here. I know we got an inch and a quarter of snow today, and that just throws people. God's provision is not based on what the world's doing. We're going to study this more in detail later, but there's a widow right around 1 Kings, I want to say chapter 17. And there is a tremendous drought. The drought has caused a famine. There's a food shortage. There's a water shortage. There is, everything is going on. It's almost like, you know, the Great Depression on steroids. People are going hungry. And there's this widow woman, and she's got a juvenile son, and she's down to her last little bit of flour, whatever kind of flour it would have been back then, and last little bit of oil, whatever kind of cooking oil they would have been using back then. And it gets so bad, all she's got left for her and her son are this little bit of flour and a little bit of oil in a jar. And look, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a single one of us in here who ever want to see our children suffer. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. You know, I've worked my tail end off to make sure my kids have decent clothes, they have a decent life. They don't have, I know what it's like to have you. No heat in the house. I know what it's like to have a house repossessed, have cars repossessed, have cars that don't run in the driveway. Been there, done that. I don't want my kids to have to do that. This woman is on the brink of starvation. Now, starvation, ladies and gentlemen, when we read the Bible, we just read it, you know. But if you're facing a death of starvation, look, by the way, I didn't say anything because I have so much to pack in today, but congratulations for those who finished the 21-day fast. God bless you. Good job. Go out tomorrow, stuff your face, whatever you're going to do. But you did it. I remember those first few days of you know, we were giving up sugar, processed foods, you know, anything that wasn't, basically we were only doing, what is it, fruits, vegetables, legumes, and fish. All right. And those first few days, man, I was climbing up walls. I was like, man, this does not feel good. My flesh is not like this. Now I'm like, praise God, I'm glad we did it. But can you imagine you're facing starvation? This is a very slow, painful death. It's a death where your teeth fall out. It's a death where you're just strong. You begin to hallucinate. This is not, for your body begins to consume itself. This is not a good time. And this woman says, we're going to make this last little bit of cake. In my mind, it's probably going to be about this big. Now, that's my mind. It could be bigger, smaller, but that's how I imagine it. And so she's probably going to cut it in half. And her son's going to, now, because she's a good mom, she's probably going to give 60 or 70% to her son, maybe 80, and take just a little bit for herself, because that's what moms do, right? She's going to divide it. And then they're going to die. Here comes the man of God. Hello. Hi there. What are you doing? Well, be honest, me and my son have no food left other than this little oil, this little flour. We're going to bake it, eat a cake, and die. And the man of God says this, give me some first. Now, do you realize if that got into the USA Today, that would be taken completely out of context, right? Realize if we saw that on Facebook right now, that would not be man of God comes to save starving widow. That would be man of God takes widow's last cake, right? That's how that gets twisted. Be careful. Listen, I love y'all. I mean this. But be careful. Be careful. I know the media, media loves to have a good story, a sensational story. You didn't believe what they say about politicians. Don't believe what they say about preachers. Amen. Be careful with that. Okay? I know they, I'm not saying preachers are perfect. They've done some bad things, but I can assure you media does never tell the full truth. They're not capable of it. So, give me some first. So she has a decision to make. I'm going to take some of my son's last meal and give to this preacher who I don't even know. So instead of cutting it in half, she cuts it in thirds. And she gives him a third of that cake. They eat. Now Elijah, he's got the faith. But this woman, you know, she just gave the last bit of her cake to a preacher. He could have been some type of charlatan, just taking the widow for everything she's got. Being the good mom, so they're sitting in the dining area, eating, enjoying it. Being the good mom, after she's done, she picks up the plates, goes into whatever room they're using, what we would call a kitchen, puts the plates up on the counter to wash someday, and out of the corner of her eye, she catches those two jars. Wait a second. It's full. It's full. It's full. Hot dog. Make some more cake. Makes another cake. Takes it in. They eat. Now they're full. Gathers the plates. Goes back in. They're full again. And the rest of that famine, those things never emptied. Ladies and gentlemen, that's sowing and reaping. That is the provision of God that is not based on the economy of man. Amen. I want you to get your faith out there. I want you to get your faith out there. I don't care what this world system is doing. My God shall supply all my needs. Amen. All right. We love you. We bless you. It's only 11:36. You're still going to beat the majority of people to Rizzo's. Father, we love you today. Lord, I pray that you stir up faith in us for good works, faith in us to be the good Samaritan, faith in us to tap into your economic system, Lord. Help us not to be content only in this world system, but help us to, Lord, have vision and insight, Lord, and faith that we are going to prosper in this system, in this life, so that we can be a blessing and preach the gospel and be a part of expanding your kingdom. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, we'll have prayer partners down here. If you need prayer for anything, you are dismissed. Hey, don't forget to invite folks to church. Let's pack this place out these next few weeks.